to read this to you tonight. It'll take just a minute, but it's called A Baby's Hug. It goes real good, even with what we're doing, the direction our church is going in, reaching people, caring about people. It says, we were the only family with children in the restaurant. I sat Eric in a high chair, and I noticed everyone was quietly sitting and talking. Suddenly, Eric squealed with glee and said, "Hi." He pounded his fat baby hands on the high chair tray. His eyes were crinkled in laughter, and his mouth was bared in a toothless grin. He wriggled and giggled with merriment. I looked around and saw the source of his merriment, of his happiness, and it was a man whose pants were baggy, with a zipper at half mast, and his toes poked out of the would-be shoes. His shirt was dirty, and his hair was uncombed and unwashed. His whiskers were too short to be called a beard, and his nose was so varicose it looked like a road map. That whisker's too short. That's some of you guys, at times I aggravate you about that when I ask you if you've been shaving through the screen door. Amen? And we were too far from him to smell, but I was sure he smelled. His hands waved and flapped on loose wrists, and, "Hi there, baby. Hi there, big boy." "I see you, Buster," the man said to Eric. My husband and I exchanged looks. What do we do? Eric continued to laugh and answered, "Hi." Everyone in the restaurant noticed and looked at us and then at the man. The old geezer was creating a nuisance with my beautiful baby. Our meal came and the man began shouting from across the room, "Do you patty cake? Do you know peekaboo? Hey, look, he knows peekaboo." Nobody thought the old man was cute. He was obviously drunk. My husband and I were embarrassed. We ate in silence, all except for Eric, who was running through his repertoire for the admiring Skid Row bum, who in turn replicated with his own cute comments. We finally got through the meal and headed for the door. My husband went to pay the check and told me to meet him in the parking lot. The old man sat poised between me and the door. "Lord, just let me get out of here before he speaks to Eric," I prayed. As I drew closer to the man, I turned my back trying to sidestep him and avoid any air that he might be breathing. As I did, Eric leaned over my arm, reaching with both arms in a baby's pick-me-up position. Before I could stop him, Eric had propelled himself from my arms to the man. Suddenly, a very old, smelly man and a very young baby consummated their love and kinship. Eric, in an act of total trust, love, and submission, laid his tiny head upon the man's ragged shoulder. The man's eyes closed, and I saw tears hover beneath his lashes. His aged hands, full of grime, pain, and hard labor, cradled my baby's bottom and stroked his back. No two beings have ever loved so deeply for such a short time. I stood awestruck. The old man rocked and cradled Eric in his arms, and his eyes opened, and he sat squarely on mine and said in a firm, commanding voice, "You take care of this baby." Somehow I managed, "I will," from a throat that contained a stone. He pried Eric from his chest lovingly and longingly as though we were in pain. I received my baby, and the man said, "God bless you, ma'am. You've given me my Christmas gift." I said nothing more than a muttered thanks. With Eric in my arms, I ran for the car. My husband was wondering why I was crying and holding Eric so tightly, and why I was saying, my God, forgive me." I had just witnessed Christ's love shown through the innocence of a tiny child who saw no sin, who made no judgment. A child who saw a soul and a mother who saw a suit of clothes. I was a Christian who was blind, holding a child who was not. I felt it was God asking, "Are you willing to share your son for a moment when he shared his for all eternity?" How did God feel when he put his baby
in our arms 2,000 years ago. I might need to read this again at Christmas, Sister Danita. Amen. That's what it's about, isn't it? The ragged old man unwittingly and had reminded me, to enter the kingdom of God, we must become as little children. If this has blessed you, then please bless others by sending it on. Let me say this to you tonight. I could think of a song when I was reading that. He looked beyond my fault, and He saw my need. Amen. Maybe you got saved in Sunday school, and I'm glad for you, but all of us didn't. Amen. God saved us all from the same hell. Say amen. Whether we were stinking in the nostrils of men or not, we were stinking in the nostrils of God. Amen. I thank the Lord tonight. Amen. Well, maybe that helped you. I don't know, but it helped me. Amen. I appreciate that, Brother Wayne. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tonight. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture and then preach tonight, Lord willing. Try to follow up a little bit on this morning. I didn't even get done with the first point that I'd like to tonight. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible said, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." How many knows there's a whole lot of things concerning God's will that we're just not certain about? We have to pray about. Amen. We have to find His will and seek His will. Amen. But thank God we can say this about giving thanks. That's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and I. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight, Lord, for the opportunity to gather in Your house tonight. God, I pray that You would help me, Lord, tonight. I do want to be a blessing, God, to these dear folk that have gathered on this Sunday night in the house of God. Thank You, Lord, for a good building to come into where we can be warm when it's cold outside, where we can be dry when it's wet outside. And Lord, I thank You for the warmth of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, You'd warm our hearts tonight. God, I just pray tonight now that You'd bless our visitors. I pray You'd bless all of our folk that are here. Lord, some of our folk don't feel like being here tonight, but they came anyway. God, I pray for an extra special blessing upon them this evening. Lord, for those that would love to be here and are not able to be here, would You visit with them where they are? And God bless them tonight in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Lord be my helper. I want to continue where we were this morning with the first point in the message for just a little bit, Lord willing, and then go on to the second point in the message. I begin to look in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians about some things when the Bible said in everything give thanks, about some things that we certainly tonight ought to give thanks for. And I appreciate the Lord giving us a Bible, don't you? Our Bible's trustworthy. Our Bible tonight is full of the blessings of the Lord. Notice what the Bible said here in verse 1. "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." We talked this morning about how that we ought to just thank God for the season that we live in. Not talking about fall or spring or winter or summer. Not talking about the Thanksgiving season. Not talking about the Christmas season. But talking about the season when our dear Lord will come. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But surely, unless your head is plumb buried in the sand, you know we're living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God. Jesus is coming. Amen. He said, "Preacher, I've been hearing that all my life." I have too. And it's sounding sweeter every day that I live. Amen. Jesus is coming. And He's coming for you and for me that are redeemed. We talk about how these words ought to comfort us. We talk about how these words ought to change us. And we talk about how these words ought to challenge us. The fact that Jesus is coming. There's so many. I read in the Bible, there are multitudes in the valley of decision. I was in a prison revival in Missouri years ago. And sometimes things that are put on a church sign are just unscriptural. I mean, do you believe that? There are people that will put unscriptural things on a church sign. I was going down Carter's Valley one time and the sign said, May is God's apology for March. I'm telling you, that's unscriptural. That's just plumb stupid. Say amen. God doesn't have to apologize. He's never made a mistake. He gave us in March exactly what we needed in March. And He gave us in May exactly what we needed in May. But I read a sign in Missouri years ago that I've never gotten over. Here's what it said. Untold millions are still untold. Oh, my friend, now I'll tell you something right now. That's not a verse of Scripture, but that's a truth that ought to speak to our hearts. Amen? Untold millions are still untold. How it ought to challenge us tonight to live for the Lord and to give thanks for this season that we live in. I want to take you in the Bible tonight over to the book of Timothy just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I'll show you tonight and see if you don't believe we're living in that season tonight when our Lord will come. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Question, do those verses describe the generation that we're living in tonight? Amen? I tell you, if we're not living in that generation, I don't know who is. Amen? I believe tonight with all of my heart, the Bible said here, they're going to have a form of godliness, but they're going to deny the power thereof. You know what Moses did? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Can I tell you tonight? I believe the day's coming for the church. You say, preacher, you can't prove it. No, I can't. But I said, I believe it's coming. I believe it's no longer going to be popular to go to church. Amen? I believe the day may come before the great tribulation when it'll cost us something to go to church. Cost us something to read our Bible. Cost us something to stand for what's right. Cost us something to give a gospel tract. Cost us something to be on the radio or on the internet preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The Bible's talking about this day, this season. Amen? I don't know about you, but I believe with all of my heart we're living in the season when our Lord could come. Here's a group that wants a form of godliness. You know what they want? They want religion without relationship. They want Christianity without a change. They want a relationship without repentance. They want love without the Lord. They want happiness without holiness. They want heaven without hell. Hey, I'm talking about the religious world when I'm talking about those things. Amen? That guy out the bar room, he knows he's on his way to hell. I tell you, there's a lot of people have a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, and they're on their way to hell tonight and don't even realize it. Oh, beloved friend, I believe tonight we're living in a generation. They want heaven without hell. They want pleasure without punishment. They want a Bible without the blood. They want a preacher without power. How many knows I'm telling it right? Just tickle our ears a little bit, preacher, and let us go to the house feeling good about our sin. I tell you, thank God there's still some preachers in this land that we live in that'll preach and tell what sin is and not back up. I tell you something right now. I'll never forget. I can name the man's name. Some of y'all know him. Brother John, you know him. Brother Rick Brooks. Sister Kathy had lunch with his wife the other day. I was down there pastoring at Liberty years ago. And Brother Rick told a story about a bunch of men. I reckon it must have been that Hardy's crowd. Standing around in the vestibule. Amen. And one of them said to the other, Brother Jack was somewhere preaching. Said, I wonder what Brother Jack's preaching on tonight. And another fellow spoke up and said, sin. Amen. I don't know how he got a reputation like that. But I say, glory to God, that's a pretty good reputation to have. Amen. When somebody said, hey, my preacher loves people enough to tell them about sin. Amen. Thank God we can tell them about the Savior. And I'm going to tell you something right now. We're not going to get to the Savior until we get honest about our sin. Amen. They want a preacher without power. When you have a form of godliness, you have a profession, but you don't have a possession. You have people, but you don't have peace. You have reformation without regeneration. You have a form without faith. You have a hole in your heart, but you don't have a home in heaven when you have religion without Jesus. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe with all my heart, hey, some folk around here got something better than religion. Say amen. I like that old-time religion. You know what that old-time religion really is? It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a walk that works on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It works at the hospital. It works at the graduation service. It works at the wedding. It works all the time when we're living for the Lord. It works in the valley. It works on the mountain. It works in the day. It works in the night. It works at home. It works afar off. Our God's way works. It's a way that works. Amen. All tonight we're living in that season. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. I wonder what would happen in America if we woke up in the morning. And anybody seen one of them new $100 bills yet? Anybody seen one of them? I met a guy somewhere. I sold him a gun. I don't remember what I sold him now, but I sold it to him. He said, no, it was a barrel off of a gun. It was one of them that you could switch over. And I sold it to him. And he said, I got two of these new ones down at the Eastman Credit Union. He said, it looks like play money. He said, or I got two of these old ones. I said, sir, I ain't never seen them before. If you don't care, give me them old ones. Say amen. I had a little bit more confidence that they might work. Say amen. I tell you what, we got new money. What's it going to be in America when we wake up one morning and realize everything that's got that on it ain't worth a dime? You say, preacher, that'll never happen. Folk, we better wake up. We're living in the last days. You know what I believe? I believe it'll be good for God's people. What do you mean, preacher? Oh, you say it'll be a hard time. I believe we'll get closer together than we've ever been in our lives. Say amen. I believe I might call Sister Carol and Brother Wayne and say, y'all got an extra tater. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I tell you, every one of us could stand to have just a little bit of pride knocked out of us. Amen. And help us, Lord, that we might see revival. But we're living in the last days tonight. The season. I just thank God for the season. I love fall. Somebody told me the other day, said, I love fall of the year. I said, I do too, but probably not for the same reason you do. Amen. I get to feeling like a monkey in the fall of the year. I feel like I ought to climb a tree. Amen. And wait on one of them deer to come through. Amen. That's what I like to do. Amen. You say, preacher, you ain't got no sense. You should have known that a long time ago. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, listen, I thank God for fall. I like that season. I thank God. My wife and I have talked about it for years. We love Thanksgiving more than Christmas. He said, now preacher, you're nuts. I'm just telling you, this world has ruined Christmas. Now we enjoy Christmas. My wife said a while ago, she said, honey, let's just not get at each other anything. And this will be about 20 years in a row, she said that. Can't y'all just see me not getting her anything for Christmas? Y'all'd want me when I got back in here on New Year's, wouldn't you? Amen? No, I love her and she loves me, but I know what she's saying. We're so sick of the commercialism. I told my family, my girls come and said, Daddy, would you care? Said, every one of us has got everything we need. How many could say amen right there? And she said, Daddy, would you care if we just drawed names instead of everybody buying for everybody? I said, I tell you what I'd like for us to do. Find a family that's in trouble. Find a family that's hurting. Amen. And just pitch in and help another family at Christmas time. I love Christmas. I love Thanksgiving more than Christmas. So far, they ain't ruined it. Say amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. God helped me Friday night in this scripture. to fall in love with this other season. The season of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, it puts a spring in my step. It just makes my heart glow. Say amen. Just to know. Yet a little while. And he that shall come. And will not tarry. Amen. Oh, since the fathers fell asleep, they've been talking about it. Well, I'm going to tell you something tonight. That's not going to change it. He's still coming. Amen. Coming for a prepared people to take them to a prepared place. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go, question, did he go? How many knows he went? Hallelujah. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you. I love these two words. I will. I will. Now when I say I will, I mean well. But when he says he will, period. Amen. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Glory to God tonight. Thank God tonight. And everything give thanks. Thank God tonight for the season. Let me give you this tonight. Secondly in the message. Amen. My daughter said, Daddy said, I know you didn't get done with the first point. I said, how do you know? She said, because that one word kept coming up over and over and over again. How many thinks I'm proud to know I got a daughter that's listening? Say amen. That word season. I hope you're getting excited about that season. Brother Fred, you're getting up in years, but you're living in the season, brother. Amen. Our dear sister that was here, Sister Sue, this morning, she's getting up in years, but she's living in the season. Amen. He said, preacher, I'm so old, I'm so decrepit, I'm looking for the undertaker. I'll tell you what, I don't believe you are. I believe you're looking for the undertaker. I believe that's why you're here tonight. Amen. I believe that's why you still love the Lord. Love the house of God. Amen. Looking for Jesus. The second thing I see in the chapter tonight, let me spend just a few minutes here tonight, and we'll uncouple again. Look at verse number 8 through verse number 10. Back over here in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. The Bible said, but let us. Don't you like that word, us? That little phrase, I challenge you to read the book of Hebrews. One time I preached through the book of Hebrews and I called it heavenly lettuce. Over and over and over through the book of Hebrews, it says, let us, let us, let us. Amen. Y'all get that after a while. Some of you is asleep. Brother John warned me that he was going to sleep. Rest of you didn't warn me. Amen. Amen. Let us, watch this, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of, what's that next word? Salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain, what's that word? Salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I just now realized I've misquoted that verse for years. I thought that verse said salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. I misquoted it. For years I have. I know I have. I just read it. It says by our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, tonight, we ought to thank God for the season. But the second thing tonight, and you know what, Brother Preston? You prayed a while ago, didn't you? You know, brother, you didn't know what I was preaching tonight. But God knew what I was preaching tonight. And that brother stood right here and did what I'm about to preach on tonight. He thanked God for his salvation. How many's listening when he prayed? He stood right there. Now listen to me. I'm not trying to build him up and I'm not trying to tear us down. But I'm telling you, we'd be a lot better Christian if a lot more often than we do, we would thank God for saving a wretch like you and like me. Amen. Thank God. In everything give thanks. Thank God for the season we're living in. But thank God for the season we're going to be delivered from. The Bible said there's coming a great tribulation. Amen. Now, I'm not a post-trib. I'm not a mid-trib. Amen. I'm a pre-tribulationist. What does that mean, preacher? That means that I believe what that Bible said right there, that we are not appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is coming after the church. And we're going to meet the church in the air. You say, I thought Jesus was coming to the earth. He is. 7 years later. The Mount of Olives. Amen. And we'll be right behind Him when He rides out. What a ride that's going to be. You say, preacher, you don't believe that stuff about them horses, do you? Why wouldn't I? God said it in the Bible. Amen. I tell you what, if He said it'd be a pink horse, I'd just get on and ride for the glory of God. Out of His vesture. On His vesture is a name written. King of kings. Lord of lords. Out of His mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword. I'm telling you, the time of Jacob's trouble, this world is going to be in trouble. But thank God for salvation that delivers me from hell and delivers me from that tribulation. I believe with all of my heart, we are no better than the early church. Listen to me a minute. I believe that we may very well face a period of persecution. But persecution and tribulation is two different things when you're talking about the time of Jacob's trouble and the time of the great tribulation. That's two entirely different things. Amen. But I believe with all my heart tonight, we ought to thank God for the season. But we ought to thank God, like Brother Preston did, for saving me. You know, they done got over there and rewrote the words to Amazing Grace. Y'all know that? Somebody rewrote it. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. Now we're a soul. But I believe a songwriter got it right. He wanted everybody to know he was a wretched soul. Hallelujah. Now we're living in a generation that's got so much pride. I tell you, we don't even want to admit we sinned against the Holy God anymore. But we'll never know the fullness of His salvation until we understand the fullness of our iniquity and our sin. I'm going to tell you something right now. You don't have to beg a man to be saved when he gets good and guilty before a holy God. When he sees where he's headed without God, he understands the judgment. You say, preacher, that man's not under judgment. You read the Bible. In John chapter number 3, the Bible said, he that believeth not is condemned already because he believed not the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, tonight, I want to thank God tonight for just a few minutes about my salvation. Number one, watch this tonight. My salvation gives us protection. Look at verse number 8. The Bible said, but let us who are of the day be sober. I was working with a Mennonite chaplain up in Pennsylvania. And you can say whatever you want to. You don't know the man. I do know the man. I believe that man is saved. I believe that man loves Jesus. Amen. That man loved our meetings. We don't agree doctrinally in a lot of areas. But I tell you what, at the cross, that man met Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. He said one day, he was talking about coming through Kingsport. I was back up there preaching after it was already kind of laid out that I was headed this way. He said, what if I come by Kingsport? He said, we come down that way. He said, what if I was to come to your church? He said, could I come to your church? I said, why, brother, you know you'd be welcome in our church. And he said, I don't know. He said, y'all are Baptists. I said, yeah, we are. We ain't changed that. Amen. And I said, you know, brother, I said, one day you might be a Baptist. I said, then you would no longer be a man of the night. You'd be a man of the day. Men of night. Amen. You get it. Amen. He said, preacher, you must have a pretty good relationship. I do, or I would have never kidded him like that. That's the truth. Say amen right there. I believe with all of my heart. The Bible said, let us that are of the day put on the breastplate. Watch it here. The Bible said, the breastplate of faith and love and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Thank God tonight, the salvation that you and I have in the Lord Jesus, Bible salvation, it will protect you and it will protect me. Not only for time, but for eternity. Amen. Second thing tonight I see, not only does this salvation give us protection, but it gives us a promise. Look in chapter 4.
The Bible said, for if we believe in verse 14, that Jesus died and rose again. I got a question for you tonight. How many could just wave and say, I believe that. I believe Jesus died and rose again. I believe that. You say, preacher, what is that? That's the gospel. Lord, we're believing. I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. You could ask the average church member in Kingsport, what is the gospel, and get 100 different answers. But that's the gospel. You say, preacher, what kind of promise goes with this gospel? He said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know, tonight, most of the time, the only time you'll hear that scripture is in a funeral. But I say, hallelujah, it's Thanksgiving time. I thank God I'm going out when Jesus comes. I thank God for my salvation tonight. It's actually not mine. You remember what David said when he was praying? He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I just get to share in it. It's His. Say amen. I'm His and He's mine. The Bible said over there, my friend, listen, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Jonah had it right. He said, salvation is of the Lord. He had it right. He had it right. He had it right. It gives us a promise. Look at verse number 16. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You say, preacher, why are they going to rise first? You see, God is no respecter of person. And God's going to give us on an even keel. And then together, we're going out of here. Amen? I used to think, Brother Gale, it would be better to be in the grave when Jesus come, because I didn't have an understanding, because if the dead in Christ will rise first, I thought they'll be the first ones to get to see Him. No. They're just going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds, in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This salvation provides for me protection. Thank God for a shield. Thank God for a helmet. Thank God for shoes. Thank God, my friend, for our loins girt about with truth and a breastplate of righteousness. Thank God for the sword of the Spirit. He protects His children. He gives us the whole armor of God. And He promised His children, I'll be back. I'll be back. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now let me give you this. Not only does it give us protection, and not only does it give us a promise, and not only does it give us a person, I thank God for the season, don't you? I thank God for our salvation, don't you? But I want you to get a hold of this. It gives us a person. In chapter 5, in the second part of verse number 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together. What's those next two words? With Him. With Him. Years ago, the McCameys sang a song. I don't know if they wrote it or not. I don't know how much of it I can remember, and I'm definitely not going to sing it, so don't get worried. Thank you, brother. It said, if heaven had no splendor for these eyes to see, listen, and if I had no loved ones, they're waiting for me. Still I would have a longing, and I'd still want to go, because Jesus is there, and that's all I need to know. I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we'll get all bent out of shape about a street of gold and a wall of jasper and a gate of pearl, and forget about the fact that heaven wouldn't even be heaven if he wasn't there. I tell you what, I believe when we see him, the rest of it will be so diminished. Amen? Amen. Glory to God, I believe it's going to be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful there, don't you? I believe it's going to be wonderful. You know why? It's about a person. Now listen, we're talking about being thanks and everything, give thanks. I'm thanking God for the season. And then secondly tonight, and I'll be done in just a minute, I'm thanking God for our salvation. Amen. I ain't the only one saved in this room tonight. I know that. Amen. The only one I know about for sure is me, but I just got some confidence in some of y'all. Say amen. Amen. That you love that same Jesus I do. You've met him. He's delivered you from sin. Amen. And from shame. And I appreciate it. Let me say this to you tonight. In John chapter 17, I want you to understand that, Brother Preston, there's not only a longing on our end to see him, but Brother Brian, there's a longing on his end to see us. In John 17, Jesus prayed like this. He said, Father, I will that they be with me, that they may behold my glory, the glory which thou hast given me before the foundation of the world. I tell you, there's a two-way longing going on here, amen. God's youngins are longing for home, and home is longing for the youngins to get home, amen. Hallelujah. Thank God tonight for our salvation. It gives me protection. It gives me a promise. It gives me a person that I can look forward. I have met him in faith. But I tell you, I shall behold him. Hallelujah. I believe personally, the Bible did say that the 24 elders laid their crowns at his feet. Or something about his feet. I believe personally there may come a time in heaven where we could stand face to face. But I believe when we see him, we'll be like John, face to feet. We'll fall at his feet. And you know what we're going to begin doing? Brother Houston, we're finally going to get to thank him the way he ought to be thanked. We're finally going to get to praise him the way he ought to be praised. We're finally going to, my friend, not have this old flesh to contend with, this old world to contend with, that old devil to contend with. We'll be free, free, free to worship the King. Amen. What a day that's going to be. He's a-looking forward to it. Are we? Amen. I was telling, I think it was Brother Brian in the hallway the other day. It might have been somebody else. I lose track of my thoughts. But some of these songwriters, they write songs about packing up. Yeah. Glory to God, you can pack up if you want to. I ain't got nothing down here to take. Say amen. I brought nothing into this world. I ain't taken nothing out. Amen. Thank God, he'll have everything we need. You ain't never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. Ain't nobody taking nothing with them. Amen. Only thing, listen to me, mom and dad, grandparents in this room tonight, the only thing we can ask God for to take with us is our children and our grandchildren and our friends and our co-workers, our community. God help us to take some of Bloomingdale with us when Jesus comes, takes us home. I thank God for the season, don't you? How many feels like we're living in that season? I done read that Bible. I ain't just going on feelings. I'm going on faith. He said in the last days, perilous times, he described it. He said, you say, preacher, ain't many people believe that as it was in the days of Noah. What were they doing? Marrying, giving in marriage, just eating and drinking, you know, just go right on like ain't nothing going to happen. Let me tell you something right now. The day came when it began to rain. And people that were interested too late. We're living in a generation. It ain't going to rain again. I'm not talking about that kind of rain. The Bible's done told us. God put that rainbow up there. I used to always think it was to remind us. Read your Bible. He said it would remind him of the covenant that he had made. It's right there in the book. God said, that's not going to happen again. But I tell you what's happening. Going to be some big old hailstones. Going to be a third of the water supply turned to blood. There are going to be people running. I don't know what people in Florida are going to do. I didn't see no hills when I was down there. Amen. I didn't see no mountains when I was down there. First time I went to Florida, we got back up 75 just south of Chattanooga, and there was a little bump in the earth. Amen. I told my wife, I said, glory to God. Amen. She said, what are you shouting about? I said, there's a mountain. I feel like I'm getting close home now. Amen. They're going to run to the rocks and the mountains and cry, fall on us. The Bible said, Brother Gale, they're going to wish to die and not be able to die. People that's mocking this salvation that we have. People that's mocking this season that we're living in. You can say Jesus is coming. They just like Peter said they would, they're scoffing. Let them scoff. I'm going to keep looking for the Savior. Let them scoff. I'm going to just, my friend, do my best to stay ready for the trumpet to sound. He's coming. He's coming. Not only does this salvation provide for us a protection and a promise and a person, but it provides for us a wonderful place, a place called heaven. I like the song. I believe it was, I'm not sure now, was Carol Robertson the one that sung it, or him or Squire Parsons one sung that song? Some call it heaven. I call it home. I got a little place on earth down here in Sargoinsville that on earth I call home. But people that say what we're saying tonight, if you're in agreement with this message, they declare plainly that they're pilgrims and strangers on the earth. This world, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about this fact. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. To God be the glory. He's gone to prepare a place for you and for me. Old Brother Mays said years ago, how many's ever heard Brother Mays preach? Oh, Brother Gary, he is a man of God, wasn't he, brother? Oh, I loved that man of God. Loved him. I'll tell you something. Tell you what kind of man he was. Brother Grizzle, did you ever meet him? Did you ever get to meet Brother Mays Jackson? You did, brother. He's a blessing. My pastor at the time I was saved was taking Brother Mays back to the airport. He had preached the meeting in Marion, Virginia. He wasn't even preaching in our church. He said to me, he said, Brother Rick, you want to ride with us to the airport in the morning? I said, brother, I'd love to. I just felt honored to be in the same car with them two men of God. Amen. I was a young Christian, and I tried to soak up everything I could. And you know what, brother? Brother Mays was a big man. I'm not making fun of him. He's a big man. And brother Wishon, my pastor, he had one of them Lincolns where the nose of it got in the next county 10 minutes before you did. Amen. You know, I'm talking about them old, I think it was about a 78 model. A nose on that thing would look like as long as that pew. Had that big Lincoln. And here I was. I hadn't been saved, brother, just a few months. Only been preaching a month or so. And I'm sitting in the back seat. Brother Mays was in the front seat. My pastor was driving. Brother David, Brother Mays, turned his back to the door on that Lincoln. Cocked that leg up sideways where he could talk to me and talk to my pastor. He said, preacher, I don't even know why you'd mention that. I mean, he's getting a picture of why I'd mention that. That man was on 97 radio stations at that time in America. And there's a lot of preachers, as popular as he was, wouldn't have given me the time of day, let alone turned around and treated me like I was somebody. I thank God. God still got some men that are humble and walk with Him. Amen. He didn't know what an impact he was leaving in my life. Brother Mays Jackson said, y'all done know me now, don't you? Every once in a while, I get on a rabbit trail. That's okay, ain't it? Did you ever know a preacher to not get on one every once in a while? Amen. No. Brother Mays said, I'm going to wait on some of you Baptists just inside the gate. He said, when you come through the gate and say, glory! He said, I'm going to say, I told you it's that good all along, and you wouldn't listen. Amen. Glory to God. It's good. Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And I will guarantee you when we get home, after we've said what needs to be said to Him, there's going to be a buzz. And I believe God's people will be talking to one another. Brother Ron, you might say, preacher, ain't it good for us to be here? Ain't it good to be here? Ain't it good to be here? Ain't it good to be here? You know what church ought to be? It ought to be just a little taste of home. Just a little place to get in out of the weather, so to speak. The world's a beating us down. Amen? The news media's beating us down. But God said, hey, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm looking forward to home. I'm looking forward to home. We won't have cell phones over there. Won't that be wonderful? I actually don't know what I would do without my cell phone. I love the fact that if you all need me or just want to talk to me, you can pick up the phone and call me. I love that fact. But I tell you what, over yonder, I just don't believe there'll be any cell phone towers on the hills of glory. Amen. But I tell you what, I believe our communication will be. It'll be perfect, brother. It'll be perfect, Brother Mike. I like that song, that line in the song of, this is just what heaven means to me. One of the lines said, no unkind words to wound the heart are spoken. Can you imagine being in a place where your heart will never be wounded again? Whatever wounds the heart, amen, it'll never be wounded again. I'm just glad you come tonight. I don't know about you, but I want to be sure and give thanks for the season. I want to be sure and give thanks. I don't deserve to be saved, do you? Brother Long was preaching. Brother Charles Long was down at Liberty Baptist Church. And he was preaching. I love Brother Long. And he made this statement. He said, God knew what kind of Christian I was going to be. And He saved me anyway. Now, if you're one of them that thinks you're the best Christian in the world, that probably didn't do nothing for you. I sat there on the pew, and immediately when he said that, this is what I said, Brother Gale. I said, God knew what kind of preacher I was going to be.
Yeah.
And He called me anyway.
Amen.
He called me anyway. Don't you feel that way, Brother Larry? I love the Apostle Paul. One of the reasons I love him so much. He said, if you're talking about sinners, here's the chief. But he said, if you're talking about saints, he said, I'm less than the least. You'll get a hold of that. Amen. It'll help you. Amen. To God be the glory. Home. Home. We're headed home. Amen. Headed home. Headed home. I know what somebody just now thought. I'd like to get home sometime tonight. I love you. You wanting to go home, Brother Eddie? Just shake your head that way, brother, and I'll preach another 10 minutes. He ain't a moving. He don't even look like he's at the auction, Brother Brian. Amen. He's afraid to go either way. He got a wife sitting beside of him. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad I'm here tonight. I'm aiming to come back Wednesday night. I hope you are. But if I don't make it back, you tell them where I went, will you? Tell them what I talked about the last time I ever got to preach. I talked about home. I'm thankful tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. The privilege, God, to meet with your people. Lord, you said in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Lord, there's a lot we don't know about your will. Lord, I'm so glad tonight, God, that we can know it is the will of God to give thanks. Lord, we thank you for the season that we live in. Jesus, surely it can't be long. He that shall come will come. Lord, you told John, write the things which must come to pass shortly. Lord, I don't believe it'll be long. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be faithful until the end. God, I pray tonight, take these few words, and God, I pray you'd help us all to have a longing in our heart for home. Lord, I thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the season that we live in. Help us this week. Lord, when the pressures of the holidays come, and they will, I pray, God, that we wouldn't live under that pressure. God, that we would just go through Thanksgiving and Christmas, not with our eyes on the shelf, but with our eyes on the Savior. Help us, Lord, to live unto Jesus.